Good afternoon. Yesterday, the Coalition Government's family package began, and more than a million families and households are immediately better off as a consequence. 385,000 families with children will be better off by an average of $75 a week when the package is fully rolled out in 2 years' time. And more than 750,000 superannuitants will now have help each winter to pay their heating bills, with a couple receiving $750 a year to assist with keeping their house and houses warm in the coldest months. Paid parental leave was extended from 18 weeks to 22 weeks and will extend a further 4 weeks from 2020. Now, we make no apologies for prioritising children, families and superannuitants who were ignored by the previous administration, who preferred to give money away to the top income earners. Our family's package gets nearly twice as many children out of poverty, is better at stimulating the economy, and actively helps the elderly. It's the centrepiece of this government's social policy to raise the incomes and help out the broad range of New Zealanders doing it tough. On another matter, I wish to advise that the father of the Honourable Shane Jones sadly passed away earlier today, and all of his colleagues around the cabinet table have expressed their condolences to Minister Jones, who naturally will be taking leave in the course of the week. I also wish to note the passing away of Graham Lindsay over the weekend as well. He was a US-based expat New Zealander who did much to advance business interests between our two countries. He was also a board member of the American New Zealand Association, which worked with Fulbright New Zealand to provide educational exchanges. He himself, of course, also was a Fulbright scholar. Now, in the course of the week, I'll be attending Parliament's Question Time on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Tonight, I will be attending the US Embassy's 4th of July event at Te Papa with others from Cabinet and Parliament. On Tuesday evening, I'll present the PM's Education Excellence Awards held here in Parliament. Now, Cabinet today confirmed the details of a review into the State Services Commission's appointment process in relation to the recent appointment of a Deputy Commissioner of Police. Internal Affairs Minister Tracy Martin will initiate a government inquiry into the process. The terms of reference will focus on the State Services Commission's appointment process. First, was all relevant information properly provided to or gathered by the State Services Commission during the appointment process of a Deputy Commissioner of Police? And if not, why not? And second, in the event that all relevant information was provided to or known by the State Services Commission, was it provided to ministers? And if not, why not? Further terms of reference will be announced shortly. The minister will be announcing a suitably qualified and independent person to undertake this inquiry in the coming days. Any questions?
Should the Deputy Commissioner stand down for the duration of the inquiry?
I don't believe so.
Did Cabinet discuss Kiwi Book eligibility criteria for that?
No.
Why?
Did it come up at all?
No.
Why do you not think he should stand down? Stand aside?
Well, because it's not that nature of the offence that is being alleged, it's the process of isolation that is a matter of concern, and that's what we're trying to sort out.
When you talk about relevant information, are you meaning the stuff he said during Operation Austin, or are you also talking about his political affiliations with New Zealand First?
Well, the second one's a red herring that you've raised. The first one is over to the inquiry, because it is the details or information that they had or should have had that we might have found out about before we can make any further decisions.
Do you mean the person conducting the inquiry will be able to decide what was relevant and what wasn't?
Well, we're working on the terms of reference with Great Agency now, and I'll be able to answer that with more precision a week from now.
Why is Tracy Martin the minister?
Well, clearly you can't have the Minister of Police. Clearly you cannot have the Minister of State Services, since the process not that very department as much as they were that. And the Internal Affairs Minister would be first of all providing all the backup and administrative help for that inquiry. And because she's separate from the other two elements which disqualify the other two ministers I mentioned.
Given who and I have those head links with your party, that
was appropriate for New Zealand First MP. Well, she's not New Zealand First MP, she's a cabinet minister, well aware of her responsibilities. The second thing is, there has been an allegation that he was a candidate. That is false. Let me tell you very clearly that candidates for New Zealand First are those people who survived the electorate specific or the list process, nomination and notification all the way to the Electoral Commission. He did not.
But he didn't say the extent of the... He pulled out of the process, though, didn't he?
Well, yes, he did, but a whole lot of people start and stop. And, you know, I can recall Geoffrey Palmer left the National Party to join the Labour Party and become the candidate for Christchurch Central a long time ago. No one thought he was compromised by his decision. And in a democracy, you'd expect people to have a fluidity of views. They don't always hold them. They don't always stay with the same party. And I don't know what his political views are.
Could you please explain the extent of the relationship between Wally O'Homaha and New Zealand First?
I just, in my last answer, told you precisely that. I said I've got no idea what his political affiliations are now.
In 2005, can you explain your...
That was 13 years ago, with respect. We need to move on this question time, but they're not going to contaminate the inquiry that's coming by answering questions that may be raised by them.
So Simon Bridges thinks you should have declared to the Cabinet that political association with him that goes back to 2005.
So I should have declared to the Cabinet, according to the Crown Prosecutor from Tauranga, that someone wasn't a candidate for New Zealand First. Well, actually, it didn't strike my mind that that was relevant.
Sought selection for New Zealand First.
A lot of people seek elections and selections all over the country. That does not bind them years and years later, like 30 years later, surely. Otherwise, we're going to have some sort of secret society here dominating people's progressive professional outcomes, and that would be unfair.
Mr. Peters, do you ever remember meeting him back in 2005?
I remember meeting him before 2005, involved in remediating against serious criminal activity and gang activity in Wairarapa and the Western Bay. Yes, I do.
But while he was vying to be a candidate for New Zealand First, did you meet with him?
Well, look, I can't recall exactly who I met in 2005. With great respect, there were tens of maybe hundreds of thousands over those years.
What about subsequently since then? Have you had any dealings with him?
I've had no dealings with him subject to that, no.
What was your relationship back then? Were you friendly or had you just met him a few times?
Well, in the main, I've been friendly with all responsible police officers going about their duty in tough and difficult circumstances, sometimes putting their lives on the line and their family life on the line as well. Yes, I have known a lot of police officers. Massively, in the main, they're committed to New Zealand society.
The inquiry into the appointment, if it finds there was fault with the way the process went through,
I mean,
what might be the outcome
of that? Well, we'll have to wait that. I mean, it would be hypothetical to give you an answer now without the information, without the inquiry, without the process being completed. And it's not really, would not be responsible for me to do that, or for that matter, any minister or member of parliament, until we know what the findings of this inquiry are.
What do you want to find out?
What we want to find out in the main, and there are further terms of reference being announced as well by the probably by the end of this week or by next Monday.
Could you please explain then, if you want to find out whether the correct information was given over in relation to Operation Austin, why you don't think he should stand down in the meantime? Should it end up that he stands down?
Well, have you read all the information from Operation Austin? Have you? No. Well, nor have I. Well, therefore, we're not going to rush to judgment until we have an independent research authority inquiry outcome.
Just so
to the nurses' pay negotiations and the bargaining team for the nurses that recommended that nurses try to accept it. Can you confirm that, you know, whether any new money was offered in that agreement or did the government obviously hope that nurses accept this?
Well, clearly we hope that the nurses accept it. This is not an unsympathetic government to the predicament of a lot of people in this country where their conditions and wages are concerned. But as I said, we've only got so much money to run a fiscally responsible budget, and this is our first budget. That said, the quantum will remain the same with a small variation depending on the issue of timing.
What's the extent of that variation?
Well, it's extremely small as against the half a billion we put into the payback we're talking about.
And is that new money, or is that money that's being made available now?
Well, I don't want to explain its particularity other than to say its peculiarity where it's less at this point in time by that amount, and more by that same amount at a different point in time. So it roughly evens itself out. But I suppose if you would look at it over a 6 or 7 year period into the future, it would be marginally a little bit more.
Is that to
fractionally more.
Is that to do specifically with wages and pay, or is it to do with the training of more nurses or the implementation of more nurses, or is it the pay, or is that to do with
pay? No, it's to do specifically with promotion and, as a result, pay.
The prison population is forecast to jump by 4,000 in the next 10 years. How's the government going to cope with that?
We've announced that the figures that we were calculating on emerged in November of 2017, were submitted in the Cabinet Federations by the 4th of December 2017, and we have relied upon those broad forecasts not to accept that that's the automatic future for New Zealand, massive incarceration, heading towards figures which are unsupported by the taxpayer. And we've announced a path of reform where we believe we can reduce the prison numbers. And strange enough, we already have against those poor projections.
Calvin Davis got himself in a bit of a muddle this morning about whether he'd seen the forecasts or not. Do you sort of confidence in
him? No, he didn't get himself in a little muddle. The questioner did not refer specifically to the issue of the report. Now, Calvin obviously thought it was the report circa November of last year, and submitted in the cabinet documents and papers of and considerations of it of December 2017, as against the full report on that report, which only came out very recently, went online in fact just a few days, I think, before Mr. Davis saw it. So that was what he was honestly referring to, because he thought that was the report that the questioner was referring to. They were clearly talking about two different reports. And that could have been sorted out this morning, but it wasn't, which is the penchant of some interview techniques.
Shouldn't Corrections Minister be completely across detail like that? Well, it was
completely across the detail, but if you're talking about the telephone book versus sort of the directly LFH directory, you can be talking about two different things if you were looking for the right phone number, so to speak. And I think it should have been specified which report you were being asked to comment on.
Should he have been given...
Because remember, the intended embarrassment was that it, had he involved to read it, I just fleshed up on it over the weekend, which was true as to the expanded report on the report. And so looking back, I can see how someone can make a mistake. But is he all over it? Yes, he is all over the subject. Is he aware of the elements of penal reform and custodial numbers that we are referring to as a government? Yes, he is.
But should a minister be across an important report like that before it's made public?
Which report are you talking about? You're talking about the November report last year? Or you're talking about the report on the expanded report on the report?
The one that was just published a couple of days ago, as you say. The minister says he read it on Sunday. Should he have read it before it was made public?
Well, that second time, the third time, made it very clear. He was referring to a report, that's the expanded report, which only came out a few days in which he had read. As to whether, if he was asked, in November last year, figures were brought to your attention, which the Cabinet was considered by the 4th of December last year, he would have given a different answer.
Just on that inquiry, will you make the inquiry public when it's finished?
I cannot see any other result for a government that's an open government.
And also, would you agree that the focus won't just be on what the candidate told the panel, but also what the Commissioner of Police disclosed as well, assuming he was privy to what Ekman Hart had said?
Look, we want a comprehensive inquiry that gets at the facts as to the two items I pointed out were subject, the principal subjects of the inquiry, with further terms of reference, which we need to tidy up in the next few days. We're not here to run a cover-up, but to get to the facts and have all the evidence out there.
You already know of some things that he said during Operation Ostrom, which were not disclosed to the Cabinet when they were making their decision. Do you believe they should have been disclosed?
Well, look, again, I don't want to involve myself in contaminating the inquiry, but I'll make this one point. He said, he made comments about the three people. Clearly, on two people, he was decisively wrong, but on the third person, who took the matter to court, he could be construed as being right. Now, you know, it's not a two out of one out of three ain't bad, but all I'm saying is I'd rather leave it until the inquiry has been completed before making any other comment, which would possibly contaminate the inquiry.
Did you discuss the inquiry with the Prime Minister before you announced it?
Well, the answer is, me personally, no. But I am sure that others who would know perceiving better patterns better than me did.
But it was spearheaded by you rather than the Prime Minister.
Look, the moment something like this emerges, you've got to come clean and ensure that you react to it. It's a matter of public interest, and we have responded to it.
Mr. Peters, you said earlier that Cabinet have not discussed Kiwi Bill eligibility criteria today. Has Cabinet discussed it at all in the past?
Well, of course we have.
So there's a paper in with you?
Are you talking about today, or are you talking about previous days of Cabinet? Of course Mr. Twyford has come to the Cabinet with a whole lot of background information with respect to entitlements of Kiwi Bill and all sorts of matters. But as of today, it wasn't on the agenda in that context.
Going back to the nurses' strike, how confident are you that the July 12th action won't go ahead?
Well, no one can be confident of the decisions that other people might independently make. Are we confident that we can do the best we can in our negotiations and go as far as we possibly can? Yes, we most certainly are. We've seen 9 years of utter neglect and workers in this context being turned back from their request for a better deal. And we've sought to respond massively to this in our first budget. But we've got others to come, and we're asking these people to see it in a reasonable way, put ourselves in themselves in our shoes. How can we do better and run a responsible fiscal policy? We've done the best we possibly can. And I trust the nurses in their boat the next few days to see that as well.
We were told
thank you. One more
in
question.
Regard to the Etchatins decision to take over the Kapiti Bridge,
yes.
Would you ever look at some kind of compensation for some of these smaller regional airports that are struggling in the future, help from the government?
I can't speak for the government on a question like that other than to say that in the United States, the different economic philosophy than us, whether you're Republican or Democrat, they see regional airport service as a federal government responsibility. Maybe I've given you an answer to how we might feel about it, but I'm not going to foreclose my cabinet colleagues making input.
Mr.
All Peter, right, so one
question,
last question.
There's a question about Wellington City Council requests for funding, taxpayer funding for $25 million to the Peter Jackson Museum and the Convention Centre in Wellington.
they've put in a request to the government. Has that, have you considered it, or is that something the government would be prepared to consider?
When did they put the request in?
A few months ago, is my understanding.
To the best of my knowledge, there's not been a consideration yet.
Mr. Peters, how do you feel about being called New Zealand's own version of Donald Trump by Nigel Farage?
Well, I noticed the medium that carried that.
He's a friend of yours, right? How do you feel about being called New Zealand's own version?
No, excuse me. What I saw was a campaign that was opposed by all the multinational wealth in the world and Europe, including intervening countries from outside, get beaten by the people's voice, that is to speak, ordinary people all around the UK who are up against a lot of money, nevertheless had their democratic expression. In that sense, I understand what Mr. Farage was saying.
The last time someone called you Trumpian, you said they were a lunatic who'd escaped the asylum at 2:30 a.m.
Sorry then?
The last time someone called you Trumpian, you said that they were a lunatic who'd escaped the asylum at 2:30 a.m.
Yeah, but I'm far too nice to say it to you today.